Tonight's Big Brother recap is sponsored by DraftKings.com. If football's your passion, you know the players and teams, their strengths and weaknesses. Now you can put that knowledge to the test and play for your shot at the $1 million top prize at DraftKings.com. It's just part of the $5 million in total prizes they're doling out on the week one contest, because DraftKings.com is the destination for 1 week fantasy football. 1 week fantasy means no season long commitments. Just play whenever you want with the players you want. Just pick your contest, draft your players, and then follow your team live. You could renew old rivalries by challenging friends and family in a private league to prove you are the superior GM, or you could join an existing league and go head-to-head with friends, coworkers, and fantasy players from all across the country. So hurry to DraftKings.com now, choose your players, and you could seriously cash in week one. Use the promo code ROB and play for free with your first deposit. That's promo code ROB, R-O-B, to play for free for your share of the $5 million in total prizes in the week one contest only at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com. Eligibility restrictions may apply. See the website for details. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's a man whose desire to succeed is only equal to his desire to breathe. Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to our special live eviction night edition of the Big Brother Recap here on Thursday, August 25th, last week of August 2016. And we've got a great show, as we have a lot of happenings going on as we are broadcasting. I'm sure a lot of people have us on one screen and the live feeds up on another. We will be talking about what happens later on in the show, but tonight, at first, we're going to get into the recap of a very fun eviction episode. And I'm so excited to have one of our great friends back here on the podcast with us. I can't tell you how many Thursdays we had this person on to talk about these evictions over the last couple of years. And here he is back with us for another Thursday recap. Ian Terry, the winner of Big Brother 14. Ian, how are you?
Well, thanks for having me. I'm doing really well. Now the school year is back on. So, you know, it's like a little bit less invested in Big Brother, but still been watching. It's been a good season so far. I've thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah. Ian, I'm so excited to have you back. I feel almost like a teacher myself, where I feel like that you went to this school and now you graduated, and now we just see you when you come back around every once in a while for Thanksgiving and whatnot.
Sure. I mean, that is one way to put it. But, you know, I'm always happy to be on the show and talk about it whenever something interesting comes up.
Yeah, and Ian was on earlier this season when we were in Chicago. Jordan Parhar got to be the person that was lucky enough to be on with him, but so was this man. He's so lucky. His Twitter handle is one lucky gay. Here he is, Brent Walgon. Brent, were you living for the jury house tonight?
Living for the jury house, not living for the result. I'm starting an I Hate James fan club, I think, while Michelle is starting an I Love Ian Terry fan club.
Yeah, so much to get into.
I'm sure we'll talk about
with
that.
With Ian, yes. Yeah. Okay, and the turnaround for Big Meech this season. So we want to hear from you guys. Hashtag RHAP on Twitter. Scott St. Pierre is behind the scenes waiting to get your questions. Not here in person like he was last Thursday, unfortunately. And of course, we're going to check in with what you guys have to say on our YouTube channel at robiswebsite.com/YouTube. And keep in mind, on Friday morning, we'll have our overnight update. Myself, hopefully, Alex Kidwell and Taryn Armstrong are both available to join me to discuss the overnight happenings, whoever wins the HOH, assuming we get one. Before the end of this show. If not, we will update you on who it is, what's going to happen, what the nominations are, what the fallout is of this competition, and much more coming up on Friday. And then very excited for Sunday night. Glenn Garcia coming to the podcast Sunday night, Ian.
Going to be very exciting. Looking very forward to that one.
Yeah, that should be a lot of fun. Ian, have you been impressed with how much Big Brother has shown Big Brother 14's own Jody this season?
I mean, she's gotten more airtime than I have. I mean, it's pretty close based on the
feeds. Not on the feeds.
Jody is just like, I think she's gotten more mentions than anybody from 14 except for Frank, who was on this season. So, that really goes to show she's catching up on us.
All right. Well, Let's get into all of this, Ian, and let's start with James's decision. And I really loved this plan that the Sitting Ducks, not the Quack Pack, Ian, the Sitting Ducks came up with a plan, and I thought it was an inspired plan. It did not work. What was your take on what Victor and Paul did, and do you think there's anything they could have tweaked to make it work better?
You know, it seemed to me the only thing that was off on this one was timing. Mm-hmm. But I think that it was a very solid plan, and I really appreciate it. You know, I think the way that I've come to think about Big Brother in the past maybe year or so is in terms of game plan. And really, at any point, you have to just think, what is my game plan from the position that I'm in? And I felt like what Paul and Victor had put together was absolutely the right idea and really the only way to try to get them through this round. And you know what? It didn't work, but it was the absolute play, and you know, it was the gambit to go for, and I definitely appreciate it. And the other thing you have to think about is that these plans, although they seem hatched in the moment, they come together from long amounts of work that goes in through a social game over time. And overall, it didn't work, but you know, these things are weeks and weeks in the making.
You know, Brent, on the Big Brother Happy Hour this week, you guys were talking about, well, what does Victor need to do to stay? And there was some discussion between you and Taryn about what they need to do is make it look like he's not with Paul anymore. And that's ultimately what they decided to do. And again, kind of late in the game. But how close did this actually come to working?
I mean, I still don't know why it didn't work. I mean, Rob, going into when the feeds were shut down earlier today, I was under the impression, I think all of fandom was under the impression, that it was going to be a 2-1 vote to evict Corey. We didn't get confirmation of it, but they had done such a good job on their second chance. And by second chance, I mean that Big Brother showed that they hatched this plan yesterday and they tried, you know, with the whole fight thing and tried to get the house guests to think that Victor was against Paul. That they tried it last night. It didn't work because James shut it down. But then today they got another shot at it because James got into a fight with Paul, who then got into a fight with Michelle. And eventually the girls started realizing that Paul is really cozying up to Corey and Nicole. And Corey and Nicole, for their part, totally dropped the ball, didn't realize what was happening, didn't realize how they were being painted by Victor and Paul. And again, I think it should have worked. You know, one of your patrons in the patron group, Amy Shapiro, said, you know, whether this works or whether it doesn't, I don't really care because this has been level one Big Brother. And I totally agree with her. Like the gameplay in the last 24 hours totally supersedes anything that we have seen so far this season. I'm sorry that it didn't work, but it really should have.
Ian, you've been following this closely and as such a Big Brother student of the game, who's playing the best game this season?
You know, that's a very good question because up until very recently, the answer was Paul, right? Without really much of any hesitation. And although you know, the situation that Paul has found himself in is obviously very different, it is difficult for me to argue that he's still not theoretically playing the best game as far as like, yeah, he's not getting the right roles, but you know, to make the dice analogy, but he is playing theoretically the best. I would say that. Now, I want to also make a case here, and this is an unpopular opinion, but James's game this season has been on point. His social game is impeccable, okay? His name had not even started coming out of people's mouths until very recently, and still not finding his way onto the block. I think that he's doing very well. I think he's doing a good player, good game, and I'm really impressed with him, despite the fact that, you know, people say he doesn't make big moves. Look, the guy won HOH, took out the house target, and then faded right back in, which is what you want to do with HOH when you are in a position that's already good. So I see no issue with what he's done. I think James is playing well.
But can I respond to that really
quickly?
Yes. Okay. But look, I don't have many problems with what Ian said. I agree with some of it. However, James is totally controlled by Natalie. I mean, so if you want to give credit to James, fine, but let's give credit to Natalie because he's doing exactly what quote unquote his woman is telling him to do. And he says that. I mean, he's totally upfront about that. So it's not like anything is a secret. I don't agree that he is playing a good game because he doesn't really understand they've executed. Look, did they make the right move tonight? Yes. Did they do it for the right reasons? No. Did they go about it and do it in a good way that was beneficial to their position in the House? No. So eventually they got to the right result. And by they, I mean James and Natalie. But they did it in a really haphazard way. And I think they're going to pay for it coming up this week, depending on what happens with this buyback.
I mean, I think the question is, though, do you really, and I always get this, is you don't really need the deepest understanding of what's going on to do well. If you have the basics...
From personal experience?
If you have the basics, right. You're going to do...
Right. Okay, I agree with you on that, and I'm just having some fun shade throwing at you there.
No, that's fine. If you can find the right answer, regardless of how you arrive at it, and you know, you're going to get bad info. That's going to happen in the Big Brother game.
If you use
the small pieces of information that you have to just get to the right result, you're going to do fine. And I think that James... He's not exactly calculating, but he gets there. And Natalie, I agree. I think that there was a certain point where she was following his lead and then it kind of, you know, eclipsed the other way. I think that James did do a lot more in the early part than she has done now, but I definitely would agree that she's the third best.
It's just frustrating from a standpoint or from a fan point of view, because it's not a very, it's like Nicole's game. Is it a good game? I guess you can argue that. Is it a very fun game to watch? Not really. I know you guys don't really care about it in the house, but there are some players who are able to marry playing a really fun TV game with playing a really good game. And I can count them on one hand. Neither Nicole nor James is doing that right now. And that's my issue with them.
Ian, if James had a do-over, knowing what he knew by the end of the show, do you think he would have voted differently?
Yes. Oh, if he knows that there's a buyback we're going to try using WeBuy for now on. I much prefer that. If he knows that there's a WeBuy going on here, I think that he absolutely would change his decision.
Why would that change things? Victor still has a 1 in 5 shot of only coming back into the house. Unless you say that Victor has a really incredible chance to beat everybody to go back, but he still has to be the person who wins out here, where there's still a decent chance he could be gone by the end of the night, as opposed to he's in the house 100% if you keep him and Corey has to win out to get back in.
Well, the thing is, though, that look at who he's playing against. Mm-hmm. Paulie is the only one that's formidable of that group. So you really, to say 1 in 5, especially given his history, is a really big stretch. Yeah. I mean, his equity to come back in is larger than 50-60%.
James's face when they announced what they were going to be doing, that he really looked like that he was having so much buyer's remorse after that vote.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, it was great.
Well, and I think part of it, Rob, was he was the one out of everybody who was saying, you know, anytime somebody brought up the opportunity that there might be somebody coming back from the jury, he totally shut it down. Even earlier today, he was like, well, you might as well put that person in the final two if you bring them back right now. Of course, never mind that there will now be 7 people in the game. But facts don't matter to James, okay? It's just like a politician. Like, facts don't matter. He doesn't matter. He doesn't care. He's just he's saying whatever he thinks. He definitely thought there would be no buyback. He was telling Natalie that. She said, well, if there is a buyback, I think we're probably screwed. He said, well, you know, oh well, you can evict me then, I guess. I think that was the way the conversation went.
Yeah, James was like,
oh, what the hell?
not loving that. Ian, so you guys played this competition that we're doing tonight in BB14, not with the jury rebuy element that we saw in Big Brother 15. I'm sure probably there's a podcast out there where you and I were breaking down that in the real time of it happening. Hashtag Helen was pushed. But so who does a competition like this favor? Is it a strong guy? Is it a smaller person? So tell us, what should we be looking for to handicap this?
Well, I mean, obviously what you're going to be looking for is smaller, lighter, right? Just having less weight acting downward is going to be an advantage, because it's less that your arms are eventually going to have to support whenever the wall reaches a full tilt. Additionally, shorter is good, because the idea is that the lower your center of mass is, the longer it's going to be above that platform. Once your center of mass is overextended past where, like, if you go from your center of mass straight down, if that's out past the center of mass, now your arms are doing all the support. As long as it's somewhat over that platform, the platform actually supports your weight in some way. And then past that, it's all on your arms. So the idea is that shorter, lower center of mass is good. Someone with big thighs would likely have a better time here. But lighter is obviously really important too.
Okay, so do you feel like that James has an excellent chance to be the HOH by the end of this?
I think that's like probably in the most obvious questions ever. Yes, like James is 100% going to do well here. The other thing you have to keep in mind is Paulie is not exactly Tommy Toon himself. Okay, or not Paulie, or Paul. Sorry, Paul. Then Paulie isn't either.
Tommy Toon.
Short man's complex. That's a Simpsons reference.
Right. But I knew who he was talking about, but I was like, I don't even know if Rob knows who that guy is.
No.
Okay. The thing is that shorter guys here, they're going to do well. So.
All right. Out of Paulie or Victor, who do you think is better situated? Do you still feel like that Victor has a better shot to win a competition like this?
So at first when I saw the setup, I was definitely a little worried. But then Victor has proven that he's done well in the endurance competitions before anyway. So I think that I was still feeling pretty good about the Vic pick.
Yeah. Are we overlooking Bridget or Nicole in this? I'm going to say probably not for Natalie.
Well, Natalie can't play.
Okay, that's right. Well, that good for her. So what about for Nicole or for Bridget?
So Bridget is also in that mold where she's shorter and she has a very low center of mass. So this is someone that I would expect to do really well. And if Victor was not the one evicted tonight, that's who I would back my money on to win the buyback 100%.
For Bridget?
If Victor were not playing and Corey were, I would say Bridget is going back in 100%.
Yeah.
And cool. And Bridget won that endurance competition, she was at the end of that endurance competition that James won earlier this season, where they had to hold their hand up forever, her, Davon, and James. So, I mean, she can stand there for hours if she needs to.
Okay. Yeah. In the chat, somebody, Brian, has brought up, Bridget has a hurt knee, from Brian Rector. Do you think a knee issue could be problematic in a challenge like this?
Is it still hurt? I mean, we know that it was hurt, you know, what is this, coming on, what, like a month and a half now, right? And that's a long time ago for that knee to still be in pain.
Is that a pressure point there in a challenge like this, though?
I mean, but how long ago was that? I can't even remember. That was, what, week three?
I mean, yeah, and I don't really think that's a pressure point. It's really more your arms at this point and, you know, how well you can keep your balance without slipping. So, I think she'll be okay.
Okay. Ian, last night on the podcast, we had Andy Heron on, and of course that he is a friend of Nicole, and he was talking about Nicole's game last night. Before this season started, I listened to you on the Dom and Colin podcast, and you really made the case for why you thought Nicole was going to be a really strong player this season. You really talked me into her, looking at her as a winner candidate, and probably in my mind at that point, the likely winner of this season. Have you been impressed with what she's done this season, or have you been disappointed?
I mean, I think that she's basically doing the same thing she did in Big Brother 16, although it's an awful lot more measured, right? I mean, her basic game plan is the same, and that doesn't surprise me, because the thing about Big Brother is there's many different ways to play it, and I feel like a person is very unlikely to change the way in which they play the game in general, as time passes, unless her personality changed drastically over 2 years, which I don't think it has, right? But the general idea is that she can play that same game in a more measured way, which I think is what's going on here.
So have you liked the pairing up with Corey this season?
I mean, I think that I think latching onto a guy is going to be her game plan every time. I think that that's a fine person to latch on to. And I mean, it's serving her pretty well. I mean, she's doing well with it. She hasn't been nominated yet, so good on her.
All right. You also played with Frank in Big Brother 14, and you were also pretty high on Frank going into the season. So what ultimately went wrong in your mind with Frank? Because I think that you expected Frank to make a big leap in terms of his gameplay from Big Brother 14 Frank to Big Brother 18 Frank.
Yeah, you know, early on in the season, I was really thrilled. I mean, to put it into perspective, right, the people that I had purchased onto my draft board on the Dom and Colin podcast were Frank, Michelle, Natalie, and Paul. And I had Frank on there, and I believe he went for $6.50, which was the highest in that draft. And he, far and away, exceeded expectations those first couple weeks. And then it just, the more time passed and the more feeds I watched, the more and more he reminded me of just like the, like it was the reasons why every time he was an HOH, he was nominated. And how, although he is like a socially, you know, really fun guy to be around, it can, it could get to be a lot. And also he sort of, you know, reminds people that he's strong. And that's a big problem. He's very overt about the way he plays. And that was his issue. And he, like I said, you're just unlikely to change in the long run, or in the short run. I mean, if someone plays 10 years later, maybe it's going to be different. You know, yeah. Boogie, I think, is a great example. You know, 5 years pass, different game. But I think Frank, no, not in 2 years' time.
Right. And also with Boogie, he didn't really even know what the show was in Big Brother 2 and then got a chance like, oh, this is what you're supposed to be doing. By exactly. Big Brother All-Stars. But for Frank, you know, I really thought they threw him such a bone where they had this roadkill competition where you had a thing where you could win a competition every week and nobody in the house would have to know that it was you. And he did win it a couple of times, but then he couldn't not tell people that he was winning that challenge.
Yeah, and when I talked to Mike, this was like the biggest issue that Mike had with Frank's game. And I actually kind of agree with him. I think that in general, with the exception of Tiffany's, which was a gambit that did not work, I think all of the roadkill wins were misplayed of them. So I think three of the four were played incorrectly.
Okay. All right. And so then we ultimately had a great moment tonight on the show. Some of the most excitement coming on this season even was all of the stuff going on in the jury house. One of the most memorable jury house segments that we've probably had on the show. Brett, am I being hyperbolic?
No, it was amazing. I was amazed that they showed us that much and so thankful for it because it was absolutely astounding to see the amount of tension that was in the jury house. Usually it dissipates, but even after a week, you could still see that there was a massive amount of tension there, specifically between Paulie and Zakiya, which I did not see coming.
Yeah, it was really fun. And so first, Ian, let me just get your take on Paulie heading into the jury house. What did you think about the rise and fall of Paul Calafiore, and perhaps the rise once again?
I mean, so as far as in the house or just like the jury segment?
In the house, leading up to this month, just because we haven't heard from you in a while.
So whenever I went back to work, people asked me what I thought of the people playing on this season and who is going to do well. And that, you know, they go, who do you think is going to win? And I said, well, certainly not going to be Paulie. And people were a bit surprised to hear that. And I said, he's too out front right now. And it will come back to bite him probably sooner than later. And sure enough, here we are where he's, you know, out of the house and in the jury house. So this wasn't really a shock to me. Too out there. You just got to play in the back. The game is much less about big moves and aggressiveness than anyone would ever like to realize. That's why Andy Heron is, I still think maybe the best at this out of anyone.
Yeah. And we had this amazing moment where we ended up with Paulie being confronted by the three women. We're just, you know, Bridget, the night that she ended up going out of the house also was the day following all of the fireworks from when Big Meech got into it with everybody and the whole FT fight that went on and where Big Meech was talking about how we blew your game up and all of that stuff that really went on. And Bridget was a big part of that. She didn't get to join in any of the fun of the Paulie going home week in the house. And then you had also Zakiya there, who really never got to see any of that. And then the Davon seemed to get everybody pretty worked up for a week. And then there wasn't even like, you know, 2 or 3 weeks time where things could have just potentially like dissipated a little bit. It was like next person out. It was really worst case scenario for Paulie to have to go and sit there. And boy, that was so crazy. Ian, was it too much against Paulie? Was it overkill? Did they go too hard on him?
You know, I think that jury house segment reminded me of why I just dislike people in general. Paulie, all three of them, they all annoyed me during that segment. I it was entertaining to watch, but I was just like, this is just like the worst of human qualities right here. And this is why people annoy me.
Yeah. You felt like it was too much of a pile on Paulie.
It was too much of a pile on there. And he was super obnoxious too. It was entertaining, but I was
everybody was terrible in your mind.
Yeah.
All right. Brett, I know that you were pumped up for all of it. You tell me why you loved it so much.
I loved it because Polly got what's coming to him. I mean, remember, Rob, we were the people who had to sit here, last Thursday night? I forget when the hell it was. And we had to put up with the self-important douchebag that is Polly Calafiori, all right? He won the game. He was the real winner. He went out on his own terms. And so then he had to come to the jury house and face the wrath
of
the jury.
I have no hard feelings for anybody here. I am right. That this person is this. I love everybody. So
exactly. He comes into the jury house and he's still acting the same cocky, asshole-ish way that he did when he left the house. Okay. So I felt like he got what was coming to him from Davon and from Zakiya and from Bridget. I was glad to see that they let him have it. I was glad to see that they didn't back down. And Zakiya, if Davon is telling the truth, and it says here she is, Zakiya and Polly have not gotten back together. I thought for sure she'd be right back on him the minute he came back into the house. And to her credit, it seems like she isn't. She can't stand him now. So, at least she has a little bit of self-respect.
Yeah, it would have been probably a great thing for Polly if that somehow Davon can find her way back into the house. That really, if Davon, like the influence of like the big sister, which I believe was the name of her team earlier this season, right. If her big sister could just be out of the picture, then she could just I think that Polly and Zakiya would mend their differences. But I think that she can't have Davon's respect if she's going to end up with Polly in the jury house. And who knows, if what the configuration is going to be of that jury house after tonight. But, still about a month left in sequester, so anything can happen. But, I mean, this was really one of the wilder exchanges we had in the jury house.
Things come out, so...
I had your back.
And
I had your back. Until I figured out what you were doing.
You were playing the victim for a long time.
Oh, nobody's playing the victim. I see where the bitch is. I see where the loser is.
Right.
Yeah, he's here.
Well, see, all of those things are true, though. She did play the victim for a while. He was being a bitch and a loser, so all of those things are true, and that's why Ian says we hate everybody, because they were both being terrible there.
Everybody's been terrible. But Davon was really good. I mean, Davon, I think Ian fulfilled whatever promise that she was sent into Big Brother 18 to create. I think that jury Davon was exactly that. And I think that if she remains on the jury, I think that she will be a great jury forewoman. I mean, you'd rather see her at like a Survivor Final Tribal Council than what the Big Brother finale ultimately turns out to be. But even in that segment for, whoever they send out there to talk to the jurors, she'll have at least another good segment in her if she stays on the jury.
Oh, I mean, absolutely. I mean, Davon is someone that I think is going to be sort of like a table leader, if you will, in the discussion. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, I think that she has, Courtney Yates, Eliza Orlin's juror upside here for Big Brother. I don't know if we have a greatest Big Brother juror of all time off the top of our head. Who is it, Ian?
That's
most iconic Big Brother juror.
I can't even think of a...
Probably like Rennie from Big Brother 10 when she was like, as a businesswoman, this was an easy decision to make. And now for this game, I'm going to vote for this person tonight. So that was basically what she did.
Okay, well, and then hopefully, we still have jury segments along the way to ultimately find out about some more stuff. All right, I want to get into some questions. I'm sure that people want to talk about the live feeds as well as this competition continues on. And we'll go through everything else from the rest of the week from Big Brother 18. Ian, do you have a good feel in your mind of who's going to win this game?
It really is up in the air right now. I mean, a week and a half ago, Paul would have been the peg to pick here, but it's really totally different at this point. I actually don't think Natalie has a bad shot.
Now, Ian, I myself have been saying for a while that I think that Big Meech has a very strong chance to win this game. And I know that she has been a big advocate of yours. Mm-hmm. And I see her in somewhat of a similar situation to the situation that you were in Big Brother 14. And I feel like that she has a lot of Meech momentum heading into a do-over here at the final seven. What do you think she needs to do?
I'll tell you what. She has a very enviable position for one reason, and that is that I think that up until very recently you had Paul and Victor in the house, and both would have loved to have taken her to the end, right? And my guess is, as much as Paul and Victor could have said, oh yeah, we want to get to the final two together, bros. I think that once they got down there, kind of the wolfy side would come out from both of them, and they'd go, hey, if I sit next to this girl that just whines all the time, I have a pretty good chance of winning the game because she, you know, she hasn't really done a whole lot. But then we see the jury segments, and they love her. Mm-hmm. That jury absolutely loves her. So it wouldn't, it wouldn't surprise me at all if we had, you know, a situation where we ended with like Paul and Michelle or something in the final two. Michelle ends up winning the jury vote, and then, you know, the butt hurt flows from, you know, the, oh, you know, this, that, and the other, oh, Paul should have won, you know, yeah. Right. And it's, yeah. No, they just like Michelle.
All right. So let me be like Julie Chen here now and ask you. So Ian, what do you think about the prospects of you and Meech potentially outside of the house?
You know, I feel okay about my chances.
All right. Even though Paulie said, and face it, Meech, Ian is not going to even like you getting out of the house.
You know,
did you know he said that?
So here's the thing. Anytime my name is mentioned, it gets back to me. Okay. So there's basically like some sort of Twitter, like my phone will wake me up in the middle of night because of Twitter, you know, notifications,
right.
TV updates thing. So anytime I hear like that, you know, I know that I'm being discussed. And when I wake up the next day, I'll see eventually what it is. So, you know, I've seen any mention of me, basically. Yeah. I'm well aware.
Yeah. Well, Ian, I know that you and I talked on the phone earlier this season, and I said, you know, Ian, don't even bother with this. I don't know about this Big Meech, but you know, I've had a turnaround on her, and that I think that this who knows what could happen, and you know, things are very complicated in real life. But I've come around on her, and I think that it might be. I think it would be. I'm shipping it. I'm in.
But you know, it's good to hear. I think that the situation, you know, it's fun, it's interesting, and I think that it's something that I would like to see what would happen with it, for sure.
I think we'd all be rooting for it if that was an avenue that you two decided to go down, and there's still a lot of game to be played. But yeah. Ian, are you at all concerned? Because this is where my head would be at. Now, if she wins the game, though, now... That's a lot of pressure now that she's a winner, and now all of a sudden it's almost, I think, better for you if she doesn't win the game.
You know, I don't want to say that. Yeah, I don't think that's true. I really
agree.
You disagree with the premise.
Yeah,
no, I disagree with the premise. Yeah, he wants to date a rich woman. Come on, Rob. Like, work with me here.
It's not even so much that. I think that. I remember someone said that to me, and I was like, well, you know, thanks for implying that my only reason for being considered attractive is because I won. I mean, is that what you're getting at? But in
that's
reality...
That's not what I'm getting at. I'm saying that maybe that she could be in, you know, who knows, it could go to her head. She could be in, you know, high demand, that setting around with all that money.
Sure, but which is good, because that could, you know... help her, you know,
travel
get her
money, yeah.
And, you know, and maybe go on a few dates here. But the reality of it is, I also think that there's something to be said about an all-winner showmance, or I guess it's not really a showmance.
Like the Jenna and Ethan or the Robin Amber of Big Brother. Has there been any sort of a winner couple? Am I missing anybody, Brent?
I don't know of anybody who's gone on to win anything who's together in Big Brother.
Boy, yeah. The headlines write themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think that there is, we'll call it Jenna and Ethan upside.
Jenna and Ethan upside. But probably go for Robin Amber upside if you know.
Fair enough.
Yeah. All right. Let's take some questions here from the listeners of the podcast here with Ian, and then we'll check in on the backyard. So R. Vandervest says, do you think allowing the jury to enter the house and interact with the house guests together affects the integrity of the game? We could get all worked up about this, but it's probably about the third or fourth time that this has happened in the last 5 years. So, Ian.
Right. And I was reminded today on Evil Dick's Twitter how many twists we've had. So if you're talking about the integrity of the game, please hush, because we had the teams, we had the roadkill, we had the battle back, we had battle back two. We have America's Care Package every other week. I mean, please don't talk to us about the integrity of the game, people. Come on.
I mean, I think at this point, the jury rebuy is something that you should be planning for.
Okay. All right. Let's take another question. Agreed. And here is one from Gertie, who says, Rob, I think Victor being on slop this week will weaken his stamina. Do you think he could still have enough strength to win? Ian, how much does being a have-not affect you going into a competition like this?
It never really affected me too much. I know, I didn't have an issue with it. I don't think I would have done any better. I guess the only thing for me was I slept funny on my arm the night before this one. I don't think having food would have made a difference.
Okay. Yeah, it's not going to make a difference. I mean, Victor is such a determined guy. He's got the eye of the tiger. If he wants to win this, he can win it. You know, he may not. I don't know. The competition may not be built for him, but he can definitely win it if he wants to win it.
I loved his reaction tonight to when Julie told him that he was going to have a chance to get back into the house.
He's so hungry.
Yes. He was like, they don't even have a chance. They don't have a chance. I'll go back in right now. They can't beat me.
It's so much confidence. Great to see. You want to see people like that who are hungry to play the game, who really, with their heart and soul, want to be back in. I mean, Rob, wasn't it on Big Brother Canada 4 when Arissa told, I think it was Kelsey, you know, you can go back into the house? And she was like, I mean, like, there's nothing there. I mean, it's good to see that he's excited to go back into the game.
Yeah.
I want to succeed more than I want to breathe.
Yes, you have to want to succeed more than you want to breathe if you want to get on the field, Brent.
Well, I was, as much as I want to dump on Pauly tonight, and there are many things to dump on him for, I love players that want it, that will do anything to get back in. And Pauly is one of those people. So, you know, love him or hate him, and I mostly hated him, I love the fact that he really wanted to get back into the game and play his heart out.
Okay, let's take another question. This is from Jarris, who says, with the number of jurors outweighing the number of house guests in the HOH competition, do you think that production wants a juror to become the HOH? Ian, do you think that they're sitting there in that trailer saying, boy, how great would it be not only if a juror came back, but also became the HOH?
Well, it's never happened, and I think it would make for, an exciting situation for sure. Yeah.
Brent?
Wait, no, it has happened. I apologize.
Big Brother 3, did Amy become the HOH after she came back?
Yeah, immediately. Yes.
Yeah.
She sat in the bathtub for 5 hours.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. She became the head of household.
What
I think they would love
that
it.
Was, Ian,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
From, 14 years ago of Big Brother.
That's so long, it slipped my mind.
Yeah. Okay. So this is from Justin Uhock, says, could Vic have stayed in the game by selling Paul's betrayal harder in his speech? James seemed on the fence. Yeah, was the issue here not so much with the Paul side of it, but with the Victor part of it, Ian, that he said that he really hates to lie to people? Brent, you're shaking your head now.
No, I'm saying, I think he sold it about as well as he could. If he did anything else, I think it probably would have looked like he was overselling it. And for those people who are thinking that maybe James was on the fence, give me a break. He wasn't on the fence. He's like this. If you go back and watch James's jury or votes to evict, he's almost always like this, where he's like, I vote to evict, and he always hesitates before he names the name. So tonight was a little bit longer, but he always does this. It's just his thing.
I don't know. Tonight's hesitation seemed like a legitimate, I'm walking into that room and I'm not sure.
Ian, if you were going to go on a double date with Meech, would you rather go with James and Natalie or Nicori?
So I'm good friends with Nicole, so I'd probably want to go with Nicori, to be perfectly honest.
Wow. There you go.
I mean, I guess that also, disregards Michelle's dislike of Nicole.
Yeah, that could be awkward. Then she might be jealous, say, Ian, wasn't she a former QT3.14?
She was a former former one. But that's the other thing is, I think from what she has, I think she's mentioned it a few times where she's like, didn't he really like Nicole? Something like that. So I think she'll be pleasantly surprised to find out that she overtook Nicole.
I guess so. I guess so. What are you going to talk to Corey about if they have to go and use the bathroom?
Stuff.
Baseball, Texas. I don't know.
Right?
All right. Zach Walter says, can the evicted house guests hear the remaining house guests talking in front of the memory wall when they're sitting with Julie? Ian, I think this is a very interesting thing that I've noticed this season, and I don't know if this has been going on for a couple of seasons or not, but the evicted house guest walks out the front door, and then the house guests in the house, open the door to
holding
the house
open, yeah.
Again, they prop it open and get a good look out into the crowd. I would feel like that production would frown upon this, but they've done it week after week, certainly this season. Is this something
James
new?
Does it.
Yeah. Is this something new, or have they been constantly doing it for years?
You know, I always tried to hold it open, but I never really did it as much as they did. I remember I could oftentimes see one of those clocks that kept very accurate time for the network whenever the door opened up. But I never really got a good look at the crowd or anything.
Is there any advantage or disadvantage to seeing what the crowd is doing or how many people are out there?
I think the real advantage is the noise level, if any. I mean, maybe just gauging popularity as far as what side to work with, if there's some sort of America's Vote or something like that. But I think the key is how loud the cheers are, or if there's booze, obviously, that tells you something.
Okay. Somebody is going to get a care package tomorrow, and the person who comes back into the house, one of these five jurors, is also going to be eligible for said care package, Ian. First off, what has been your take on the care packages themselves?
You know, I think they've actually been pretty interesting. I always do worry a little tiny bit about these sorts of things just because, I like to see shakeups to the game, but I don't necessarily like them every week like in Big Brother Canada 3. So it hasn't really been, they've been interesting just enough, but not enough to really change the course of the game a whole lot. So I think that I've been pleasantly surprised with them. They're just the right amount.
Now, Brent, the live voting for the care package starts at, I believe, midnight Pacific time, and then goes until when?
Goes until, I don't know, 12 hours of voting? I mean, it can't be very long. Because they're going to announce the America's Care Package winner tomorrow, sometime during the afternoon, Big Brother time. So, maybe 12 hours of voting. I literally think that's what's going on. But, I don't think that Rob, do we really care? Come on. It's $5,000, and you got to give it away.
Well, I think in this house in particular, I do think that the care package is going to, the only people that are going to be potentially eligible for are Paul, Corey, and the returning juror. So there's really a 1 in 3 chance, I believe, and tell me if I'm missing anybody. But the way that they work in this house, Brent, don't James and Natalie make decisions based on who they think America likes?
I mean, somewhat of the time, but there's been so much animosity between Paul and Natalie and Michelle this week, and Michelle's currently aligned with James and Natalie, that if Paul gets the America's Care Package, no effing way are they going to.
You don't think that's a game changer for James if Paul gets the care package? Oh my God, America likes him now, and we're not working with him?
Well, they know, but Rob, they know that the other people are ineligible, so it's basically a vote between Paul and Corey.
Paul more than Corey, James.
Well, whoopee. I don't think, there's been such, you didn't see the animosity on the feed today between Paul and Michelle and Natalie, where Paul was calling Michelle the C word and Natalie was saying that, you did this, you
Paul
did this.
Paul called who the C word?
Paul called Michelle the C word. Yeah,
exactly.
Ian. I know, right? It was not a good look,
Ian,
but
you can't like that.
It was a good fight, though. It was a good fight.
That's not friendship.
No. She was pissed.
So no, but Brent. I feel like this is the top story. So what was going on here?
There's so many other things to discuss. Paul was trying to. It came out that James.
Wait, which
had been
C
a little,
word? Calafiore?
No, the four letter C word. Oh, okay. Come on, Rob, work with me here.
Okay.
James had gotten wind that he was being called paranoid and that Corey and Nicole had exposed the fact that he was acting a little bit paranoid. James was acting a little bit paranoid. So Paul and James started to get into it a little bit. Then Michelle decided to get in on it. Paul didn't want to talk to Michelle. He wanted to talk to James man to man and said, can you please go away? He ignored her at first, but she kept going at him. So he finally said, can you please go away? She wouldn't go away. She basically called him a liar and a snake, and he's lied about this, lied about that. And so he got into it with her, and he started saying, go put on some more fake Tanner, and you're a bitch, and this. And then he finally called her to the C word and told her to get the F out. And it was a massive fight, and then Natalie got in on it and told Paul why, that's why you're up on the block. And he's like, well, I'm not up on the block anymore, bitch. So, it was a knockdown, drag-out fight. There's no way that $5,000 – is going to change shit. It's not going to change anything. This is going to be such an effing letdown because, like, everybody thinks that, because the care packages have gradually gotten bigger, okay? They've gotten, they started off with a never not pass, then it was two votes to evict, knocked out, then it was something else, and then a co-HOH, and now they think it's going to be like an HOH takeover. The look on his face if he gets America's care package is going to be such a kick in the gut if he finds out, it's $5,000. And not only that, but you have to give it away. Congratulations. I mean, like, it's nothing. I don't even want to talk about it. I'm so mad.
Do you have to give it away? You have no option to keep it.
Well, I this is a new twist, so I don't know, but it says it's the $5,000 bribe. It's the BB bribe. So I'm assuming you have to give it away. I mean, maybe you can keep it. I think when they had the $10,000 bars in Big Brother 10 that you could use to bribe your way, I think April got those. She ended up keeping them. She tried to use them, but it didn't work, and she ended up keeping them. So maybe he can keep the $5,000. I don't know.
Ian, do you see any value in the Big Brother bribe?
To be honest, I don't think $5,000 is really enough to do much of anything.
It's not enough.
At this point in the game, no, because if you think about it, we got, seven people left. So 500,000 divided by seven is, about, 70-some thousand. So, each week that you make it through, your equity goes up by quite a lot. Like, it's more than $5,000 just for making it through 1 week as far as equity goes.
Yeah, exactly. It's like for the non-returning house guests, it's $1,000 per week for their stipend. So they've already made more than whatever this bribe is just by being there right now.
Yeah. Seems like a poor design.
This should have been week one or week two. The co-HOH thing should have been this week.
Okay. Well, I don't know. I think at some point they're like, well, do we really want our fifth most popular house guest to get some sort of game-changing prize? I think they were sort of like that, okay, they're going up in prize, but they're also going down in the popularity of the house guests. And there's really do you want your fifth most popular house guest out of eight people to have this game-changing coup d'etat power?
Don't you also think that production specifically gave the list and also said you can only win it one time, hey, guys, vote strategically, but people are unable to do that.
Yeah, well, they are crazy if they thought that people were going to get their act together to vote strategically.
Exactly.
So, I don't know. All right, let's do a couple
more
questions.
House guests are under the impression that America's voting strategically. Like, Nicole thinks that America voted to save her because she was in danger. Little does she know that that was up and decided before Victor became the HOH that week.
Yeah. All right. Game Time Fitness. Is Paul the first house guest to basically have been shoved down our throats and actually become somewhat of a fan favorite like production has intended? Well, now, Brett, you've given me so much information now. Are we out on Paul now? We have to not like Paul anymore?
No, we're in on Paul. I mean, he was the only one playing the game this week along with Victor. He was the one who cooked up this plan. Victor executed it about as well as he could have. It should have worked again. I thought it was going to work. While watching the show tonight, I thought it was going to work. So I'm very interested to see what went down in the final 2 hours. My fear is that James being James, he's such a wuss.
Hey, to be fair, he almost got in a fist fight with Clay in Big Brother 17 right before an eviction. And then said that there wasn't even any drama last season.
Yeah, I know. Right. Well, he's such a wuss. He won't blindside anybody. So I'm sure if he was going to evict Corey, I'm sure he went to Nicole and Corey and said, look, I mean, we're going to evict Corey. That's just what's going to happen. And then Nicole probably talked him out of it and said, they're playing you. It's a fake fight. Don't buy it. And, to James's credit, it was a fake fight. He shouldn't have bought it. But of course, I'm rooting for good TV and I wanted Victor to stay in the house. So that's too bad.
Okay. So that's why we're going to give Paul a pass here, because he was really trying to turn it up to try to get them to vote to keep Victor, because Victor was going to go after Paul, supposedly.
Exactly. He was trying to create such animosity and get the target on himself and make it look like he was with Corey and Nicole. And that's the thing I didn't tell you about the fight. He was like, during this whole fight, Corey and Nicole did not defend Natalie or James or anybody who was being attacked by Paul once. They did what normal Big Brother players should do. If people are fighting, let them fight. You don't want to be a part of it. But by doing that, it made it look like to Natalie and Michelle and James that they were working with Paul. And Paul wanted them to think that. So it was masterful work on his part. Again, the fact that it didn't work, I think you can chalk up to James being a complete idiot or a, you know, a savant, whatever you want to call him, not for lack of trying on Victor and Paul's part. I wouldn't crucify Paul too much for the C word. I mean, obviously it's not a great look, he was trying to create animosity in the house, and I think he did an effective job. I mean, they want him out. If he's not HOH or one of his allies is not HOH, he is definitely in danger.
All right, so two things. One, that I feel it's a little tough to call James an idiot for not falling for the fake plan. So I think you have to say he is.
Like I said, idiot or savant, take your pick.
Savant, probably, in this instance. And two, Ian, can you forgive Paul for what he did? It's considering that he was just acting.
You know, the thing that I find very interesting about this is that, you know, I remember whenever my season of Big Brother, we did the pre-show preview, like commercial type thing. And I remember one of the things that we all said for like the commercial where we were doing like the Big Brother pledge was, it's Big Brother and there are no boundaries. And to what extent is that true? And that's the thing that you have to think about. Obviously, physical altercation is off the table, but to what extent do we really mean that Big Brother is no boundaries? Because I think that in 15, it overstepped the line, right, with the race thing. Does this situation, something like this, overstep the line? I don't know. Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. But is Big Brother no boundaries like it is touted to be? Or are there lines? I think the answer is that the players themselves draw what those lines are when casting the jury vote. That's what I honestly think.
And I would argue the live feeders draw those lines.
Well, yes, but they don't control the outcome of the game often.
They do in America's Care Package, Ian.
Well, not when it's a $5,000 bribe, Rob.
All right, let's do a couple more questions. This is from Maya, who says, Ian, if you were on this season, who would you align yourself with besides Meech, of course, and why?
Yeah, they took away the easy answer.
Well, there goes my answer. Now I actually have to think about it. I mean, if I were put onto this season, I think that my natural person that I would have worked with out of Who's There, let's assume that I replace Frank, I'm going to say. Right? I'm assuming I'm going to be working with Nicole. I think Nicole is someone that I had talked to before I went on the show about before she went on the show a long while back about, hey, if we're ever in the game, like, I think we would work really well together. So I definitely would work with Nicole. That is the person that I would have gone in there, like, being like, hey, if you win HOH, I feel like pretty good about my standing.
Yeah. You know, in some crazy way, remember the rumors from back in the summer where it was going to be that you and Derek and Vanessa and Audrey were going to be the coaches on this season. But in kind of a weird way, you guys did end up being the coaches on this season, where you had Paulie, who ends up sort of like being a protege of Derek in some way, and maybe even more in his mind than in reality. And you have Meech, who really wants to be a disciple of yours and wants to try to play the game like you. And then you have Vanessa's sister in the house, who's trying to be her protege. And in some way also, you know, Tiffany is also coming out of playing Audrey's ORG before she goes into the season. So all the people that were in the mix did have some like touch point with the season.
Yeah, I mean, it is actually really interesting now that you mentioned that. So Pauly did talk to Derek. And apparently, like, there's rumors of a James Short phone call as well. I don't know if that's true. Like you said, obviously, Tiffany, you know, Vanessa there, so that's that. And also, she was, you know, at least in contact with Audrey at some point because of the org. And Michelle, you know, I obviously did share literally one word with her long before she ever moved into the house. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's do one more question, and then let's talk about these live feeds. Okay, so Katie Wallace says, if Victor comes back in the house, do you think that he will stick with Paul, especially since both Natalie and Meech told him that Paul was the target and not him? Ian, if there was a Victor return, would the sitting ducks stick together, or would Victor go in a different direction?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I would say so.
He'll definitely stick with Paul, but it would behoove him to keep this sort of faux fight with Paul going, like that he's mad at Paul.
At least through nominations.
For not being his... Exactly. So, you know, it would be just like the plan works. Like, Victor's still in the house and James voted to keep him. Although I don't know, you know, Victor went out on good terms. Like, he didn't seem to have any animosity with anybody, and they all seem to have a great deal of affection for him. So if he does come back into the house, I think he's going to be sitting pretty well, at least unless Paul wins another veto, depending on who becomes the head of household.
Okay, so we got to get into... Oh, wait, hold on. We have one more that's got it. Okay.
Is
Nicole doing a pretty spot-on impression of Big Meech?
Yeah, with the mascara there. I mean, yeah. Well, yeah. No, I did see the other question that I thought was actually a really good one. When will they do balanced endurance competitions again? Actually, the rave one at the beginning of the year was actually extremely balanced. And the reason for that is that was pure willpower. There was no advantage to anybody in terms of physical stature or size. It was just who truly wants it the most. That's the closest we will ever get to pressure cooker again.
Right, and it went forever, and of course we got to see none of it on the live feeds.
Yeah,
none of it.
Pills.
Okay. Yeah. All right, so I want to get into talking about these live feeds. If you're going to be leaving us now, we're going to have a great show on Sunday night. We're going to talk with Glenn Garcia as we get to see how this whole HOH competition and rebuy ends up playing out. So that's going to be on our Sunday night show. Before we get into the live feeds, I've got to take a quick break, 30 seconds from Wix.com, and then we'll come back and go right into the live feeds and talk about who's coming back into the Big Brother house.
A great business needs a stunning website. And with Wix.com, you can do it all by yourself. Wix.com makes it easy to look amazing online, no matter what type of business you're in. Show off your images in a beautiful gallery. Grow your contact list and get all your social media in one place, just the way you want. Your customers are going to love it. So, what are you waiting for? Show the world what you can do. Go to Wix.com and create your stunning website today. It's easy and free.
All right, so let's get into talking about the live feeds. Let's talk about the spoilers and who could be coming back into the house.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler
warning.
A spoiler
warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
Okay. All right. So, Brent, do we have somebody back in the house yet? Yes or no?
We do. Yes.
Do we have a new HOH at this point?
We do not have a new HOH.
Okay. All right. So, all right, here we go.
Breaking news are happening now.
All right, Brent, which of the five jurors is going to be returning to the house?
Rob, it's Big Brother history. For the first time ever, someone gets a third chance to play Big Brother in the same season. Elle Fitvic is coming back in the house.
Are you serious?
Wow. Congratulations.
It came down to him and Polly, which is amazing to me because this is not a big boys competition. I mean, I never thought. I mean, it's just for smaller people who have lower center of gravity, like Ian said. But Day and Zakiya were off quickly. Day was about ready to fall. Zakiya jumped with her, so she didn't care about being in the house. Bridget looked like she was doing great, and all of a sudden she just slipped.
Nowhere.
Out of nowhere. She could have lasted forever. I think she just absolutely slipped, maybe because of the water. I don't know. It went on for about 40 or 20 minutes between Elle Fitvic and Polly. Polly looked like he was going to die, but he really wanted it. So I give him tons of credit for hanging in there. But Polly fell off and Victor is coming back in the house. And then he quickly fell off after that. So none of the jurors will be the HOH. It's down to, as we speak, Paul, Nicole, and James. So obviously, if you're me, I'm rooting for a Paul HOH, so that would keep Paul and Victor safe. But James won this competition before, and he's doing the same technique that he used last time. And Nicole has now copied him, where they kind of squat down. I didn't think they were going to be able to do this. To me, it's kind of cheating because they're squatting down and they're kind of like putting their hands, you know, underneath the bar. And some people aren't, like Paul, aren't able to do that, I don't think, because they're taller. But the Big Brother hasn't called him on it, so evidently it's okay. So it's the three of them right now fighting out for HOH.
All right. So, Ian, Victor returns for the third time. He pulls off the Aussie, and now here he is. Gets voted out twice in the same season, and now He is back once again. Are you now rooting for Victor as a winner? Not to imply you weren't before, but as a purist of the game, if I told you just in a vacuum, somebody's going to get voted out twice in one season, would it be possible for you to root for them to win the game?
I mean, I want to say I'm not rooting for Victor to win the game. I wasn't before this or after this. But that being said, you know, I think that Big Brother is just the game to me at this point. It's just, you know, it's a game and there's skill involved, but there's just so much luck involved that I mean, if you told me someone's voted out twice and could I root for someone to win in theory that has that circumstance? Yeah, I could.
Nine competition wins, Brent.
I know. I agree. I was going to say,
this
you know,
count? Hold on.
Be,
is this 8.5? Does this count as a comp win?
I know he's going to count. Well, I know Victor's going to count it as a competition win. Let's be real. He's going to say I beat those other jurors. So that's what he's going to say. I was going to say, you know, Victor winning this season would be so apropos. Like for a season with this many crazy batshit twists, for him to win as a twice evicted house guest would be awesome. Of course, I'm sure we won't get it because we don't get nice things in Big Brother anymore. Mm-hmm. But we can all hope.
Ian, does Victor need Paul to go home this week? Would that be a good scenario for Victor to have Paul go home? Would he be considered less of a target and less of a threat?
Well, I think that the issue that Victor would have is that, you know, they get put up as a pair and then Paul wins veto. And that would be the end of his game. So realistically, with Victor, if he's nominated against Paul, unless that exact scenario happens again, he's in a fine spot. But I mean, I guess that if he just survives a nomination where Paul goes, I don't necessarily know how much his position really improves that much. But those couples start to look pretty ominous. So
I will say that something that really wasn't shown on the show very much was Victor did a lot of good work this week with Natalie and Michelle. Michelle specifically, someone commented on Twitter that it reminded them of Dan Gieseling, like putting up with Danielle Murphy and like listening to her with all her stories and you know, her problems with Shane and all that stuff. Like he put in some really...
Brent.
I'm serious. That's what they said. And it's a good analogy because Victor did some really good work where he, you know, they were heartbroken to evict him. They really, I don't think that Michelle and Natalie, if they had their druthers, really wanted Victor evicted. So I think that they're going to like him coming back in. Let's assume for the sake of argument that Paul gets evicted this week. Okay. Let's just say that. Then you're going to have three pairs in the house because Paul is really probably closest to Michelle out of the remaining house guests in the house when you remove Paul from the Jenga board. So it
Victor
would
be closest with Michelle.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry. That's what I meant.
No, I agree
Victor
with that.
Exactly. Victor. That's what I meant. Victor. I'm talking about Victor. Victor did some good work this week. Victor would be closest with Michelle. So if Paul is evicted, then Victor would be with Michelle. James and Natalie be together. Corey and Nicole would be together. And it would be a fight to the finish for all three of those pairs.
Does Victor beat Big Meech in the final two, Brent?
Oh, yeah. I have to think so. Uh-oh. Yeah. I mean, he's such a likable guy. You can't dislike him. There's no way that they're going to not reward Victor because
well,
if he gets
I don't
to
know
the
about
end.
That. I feel like her, one of her better outs to win is against him. I feel like that's
if
one of
she can make
addition.
The case, but so often when people get to the end, they don't make the case. They don't say, hey, he's been evicted twice. They don't say that. If Victor can get to the end, he's going to be able to say, I have, you know, 10, 11, 12 competition wins because if he gets there, he's going to get him, right? So how can you deny him at that point? You know, in a season full of twists, I feel like you have to give it to the guy who benefited from him.
Well, Brent, I mean, that implies that the jury speeches count, right?
Okay. I think they count a little bit. If they're as good as yours, I think they count a little bit. Although I will say the jury was already predisposed to voting for you.
There was one vote swayed.
Okay. I'm guessing Jen.
Ian, let me throw another fan fiction scenario past you and tell me if you think that maybe the BB bribe might be able to do something here. So let's say, as things stand right now, we have Paul and we have Nicole and we have James up on the block. Assume Nicole or James wins HOH. They have a plan. They're going to backdoor Paul. And that's the plan. They're going to backdoor Paul. Paul wins $5,000. Could he pay either of the HOHs, either if it's James or Natalie? Here's $5,000. Put me on the block. Let me play in the veto
James
for $5,000.
You mean James or Nicole?
Sorry, what did I say, Natalie? That James or Nicole.
That's okay. I'm doing the same thing, Rob.
You know, I really don't think that they would take it. I really don't.
I don't either.
In the game.
They wouldn't let him play in the veto for $5,000. James loves money.
So wait, play in the veto. So you're, so what do you,
don't backdoor him, put him on the block, sit, let me sit in the chair. Don't backdoor me.
At seven, that's kind of a futile attempt because of the,
yeah, exactly. They're not going to try to backdoor him. Yeah. I mean, like, why would they try to backdoor him with seven? Like, I mean, it's just, there's a chance, there's mostly a chance he's going to get pulled anyway. So, yeah. I don't see it.
I tell you, I'll make one prediction tonight. If anybody takes that $5,000, it will be James.
That I agree with. I can buy.
Yeah.
I would love to see him take it and then not do what he agreed to do. Like, there's, you know, it's still Big Brother. You can
Texas
lie.
Texas code, Brent. You got to honor your word.
If I'm remembering right, they released, like, what, there were some sort of rules to the bribe. And from what I remember, it was if the money is accepted, you must do what it was. If I'm remembering when I read correctly, like, you can't take the money, then not do it. If maybe I read it wrong, but that's what
I haven't read it, so that's good to know.
Will we have some sort of genius-like signed contract between the bribe holder and that for 5,000 garnets?
Only if Extreme Ways plays in the background.
All right. Let's do a couple more questions. Johnny DeSavera says, what are the chances now that Vic and Paul win the care package and give the money to each other? I mean, is that sort of like the empty threat for Paul? Like, okay, if you don't do what I want you to do, then I'm going to give the money to my boy. So either you get the $5,000 or Vic gets the $5,000.
I mean, it would be funny.
I mean, if they have to give it away, I feel like that's what they would do. Yeah,
exactly.
And then maybe just say, like, hey, let's buy each other, a Honda Ruckus each or something, you know?
Ian, you know, I talked about this with Andy last night, the idea of not the America's Care Package, but James talked about, like, well, whoever wins, we'll just get a care package for each other, like $10,000, get everybody some money from out to Western Union. Does that bother you in the house, or is that just part of Big Brother?
Well, I don't like, you know, agreements to split prize money. I feel like that that taints the game a little bit. I mean, buying gifts is one thing, but cash prize split, I really dislike.
Okay. All right. So do you have any issue with it? Like, what could production do to, is there anything they can do?
I would say they stop tribal council to make sure that Sash did not agree to pay off James. I'm kidding. Based on that, right? But I think what was the resolution? You saw like Nicole say, like, we will not split prize money with each other, which, I mean, I don't know, you know, how much you can control that. But I mean, I certainly don't think that that's something that should do. You're not allowed to split prize money. That's very explicit. Otherwise, why don't we just split the money as it is and call the whole thing off?
Should Big Brother winners have to have Alison Grodner as a signer on their checking account?
No.
Ian, I noticed a curious withdrawal from the bank today. What's going on?
Yeah, what was that $10,000 wired to Wichita Falls, Texas there?
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Let's do one more question with Ian. Logan Elliott says, can Victor and Paul survive the week without winning HOH? All right. Brent, first of all, I'll start with you. Can Victor and Paul survive this week if one of them is not the HOH?
I mean, I wouldn't have never said last week that if Natalie became the head of household, that Paul and Victor would be in any danger. I thought Nicole and Corey were going up for sure. So you never know what's going to happen in the Big Brother house. Victor is well-liked. It's possible that if Paul somehow becomes safe or wins a veto, maybe Corey gets evicted, but I wouldn't count on it. I literally do think if Paul, and it's still the three of them fighting it out, it's hilarious watching this because James and Nicole are literally staring at Paul the entire time. Like, I want to slap both of them because it's so obvious what's going on here. It's just, you know, whatever. I mean, like, they're waiting for him to fall at this point.
And he just did.
Oh boy.
No, he did.
Yeah, he just fell.
Oh, pissed.
All right, so this will be in the next 2 minutes. Now, granted, I will say the one thing is, given how well Paul played the situation last time, okay, I think that what this has done is bought him time.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's see that if this is going to be over in the next couple of minutes, then let's just talk this through. Okay. So we know that James ended up in this situation where he became the HOH following the last endurance competition. And that did not really go great for him in terms of that he was the one that ended up with Frank and Bridget. I mean, I guess it went fine for him, but I didn't think it was such a great look for him that week where he promised them that they were going to be safe and then kind of went back on his word with them. With that, do you think that James wants the HOH power this week so he feels like he can keep himself and Natalie safe, Brent? Or do you think that James would rather pass the power off to Nicole?
I think James is such a endurance trophy boy. Yeah, that he's going to want to win this one. Like, I mean, that's in his blood. He has to win the endurance competitions. So there's no way. I mean, he's going to, him and Nicole are talking about it right now. Nicole wants a letter. She hasn't been HOH since week one, remember? And so she may talk herself into this. I would love to see a Nicole HOH because then there's a chance. There's a chance that something weird could happen. But if James is HOH, Paul and Bix are going right back on the block. Guaranteed.
The HOH is big this week. Actually, no, it is that this week there were three votes, and then there will be four votes this week. So the HOH will potentially break a tie if we end up. So the HOH is particularly big this week. So basically, we had a week where we had a reset button pushed where all of the players who are in the house are still back in the house. Once again this week, I just want to talk through real quick winners and losers from the week where nothing ultimately ended up happening and the same people are still here. All right. Who are the winners of these past 7 days?
Winners, Corey and Nicole. Losers, Paul. Everybody else I would put in a hold. Like I'm holding Natalie's stock. I'm holding Michelle. I'm holding James. Corey and Nicole, I mean, the animosity that Victor and Paul have is going towards James and Natalie. James and Natalie, by consequence, they are also giving their anger to Victor and Paul, specifically Paul. So Corey and Nicole are scot-free here. If I was Nicole, I wouldn't want any part of this HOH, although I can't understand it's down to final seven and, you know, wonky things can happen in Big Brother. So I can understand wanting to win it. That said, if I was her, I would probably drop. And knowing how much James hates Paul, just, you know, get off and play again next week.
Ian, what about for Natalie, who becomes HOH last week? She ends up getting her HOH cut in half when Michelle wins the care package. The person
she doesn't want, and then they end up coming back anyway. I mean, I think that, you know, it worked out, you know, no change, right? I mean, I feel like she's just right in the same spot she was in last week with very little difference in anything.
Okay.
And then, by the way, Rob, I'm sorry to interrupt really quickly, but you know, I'm pissed right now. I'm pissed.
That
things don't go the way that things don't go the way we want them to. Evil Dick tweeted this earlier today. I also did. I said, "Oh, if there's an endurance competition, wait for the wall to show up now that James might need help." And of course, here it comes right out the door. So, you know, Big Brother, stop being so effing predictable. I mean, we all knew it was going to be the wall competition tonight, and we all knew James was going to win it. And that's exactly what's happened. It's so boring. God.
Ian, are they that calculated of like, oh, just James could really use this competition, bring out this contest
really
for James?
So,
I mean, I think that Big Brother is pretty invested in the Paul game. I think that they would like to see Paul do well. I think that they'd be fine with a Paul HOH.
If they were into a Paul doing well, where the hell were they in the co-HOH package last week, Rob? I mean, come on. I don't know. They don't
really
seem to
care. You want them to fix it for Paul to win?
I'm just saying they could have looked the other way on some votes. That's all I'm saying. Obviously, they care about these showmances. They care. They think that people want to see Corey and Nicole canoodling and James and Natalie sleeping together. That's what they think we want. So they're giving us what they think we want.
Yeah.
Sorry. Look, I'm irritated.
We can't just fix the show for whatever we want to have happen. I mean, if anything, you should argue we shouldn't let America have a choice in this because they like these showmances, these people that are voting for this. But don't ask them to not count certain votes. Come on, Brent. We're better than that.
I'm a biased reporter. What do you want from me? Okay, I'm totally biased. I'm not like Taryn and Alex. Okay, my emotions are right here. They're on my sleeve.
Okay, all right. So what does Paul need to do to survive this week outside of winning the veto? Ian, that Dan Giesling says there's always a way out. There's always a move. What could Paul do outside of winning the veto?
You know, I think that we saw a sneak preview of that this week. It just was maybe put into action a little too late, and now he may have time. And timing is everything. So I'm really excited to see him try to do it again. It almost worked this time. What's not to say that just pushing a little harder now won't make the difference?
Well, Brent, let me ask you, in terms of, we talked about like our James and Nicole, Natalie and Meech falling for that Paul is with Nicole and Corey. Could possibly, if Nicole ends up being the HOH here, could the work that Paul put in to sucking up to Nicole and Corey, did they buy into it at all? That, hey, you guys don't have a lot of allies right now. I might be all you have.
I mean, the good thing, here's the one thing I forgot to mention, and I'm glad you bring this up. Michelle has let it be known that she wants Nicole out. So if Nicole becomes the head of household, there is a distinct chance that she's going to put Michelle on the block. Okay, you're a cutie pie 3.14, whatever the hell it's called. She might be going up, seriously, in a Nicole HOH, because Michelle has been playing so badly this week, she's let it be known that she wants Nicole out, and Nicole is like irritated by it at this point, because she's like, look, I keep trying to look the other way and she keeps forcing my hand. And Nicole is right. Everything was hunky-dory between Nicole and Michelle until it pops up again that she wants Nicole out for some ungodly reason. I don't know what it is, but she doesn't trust her and she doesn't like her. So if Nicole becomes head of household, definitely it's a possibility that Paul might be saved. Like, let's say Meech is on the block with Paul. Paul wins the veto. I could see them voting Meech out.
You know, I actually would say, like, the proper Hail Mary here is for Paul and Victor to start throwing Meech under the bus, like, immediately. Like, if I am them, that is your Hail Mary as to who is going to go and not us. 100%.
I don't know. I don't think they're ever evicting Meech. Not in that scenario where they're doing it. I think it has to come from somebody else.
Not if one of them were HOH, but like if, you know, Nicole wins head of household, it's
right.
Like, oh, you know, who's the Hail Mary that we're going to try to, you know, use as.
Yeah. I agree with that. Yeah.
That's 100%.
Yeah.
I think that Nicole ends up being the better TV HOH, where I think that James as HOH, I think we just get a week of just trying to run out the clock, where we're just trying to like, okay, I think it's pretty straightforward, and I think we're going to try to get Victor and Paul out, where I think that maybe Nicole tries to make more of a move this week and right. do something a little bit different. And at least between Nicole, between Natalie and James, you sort of have two brains working together, where if a Nicole HOH is certainly one brain working on this job. All right.
Well, the one thing I was going to say was if Nicole becomes head of household, first of all, they're still fighting it out.
Yeah, and, it's so
you know, bad. The longer this goes, the more animosity and distrust there's going to be, because these two are supposed to be together. I mean, the nominees are set at this point. It's going to be Victor and Paul back on the block. So I'm sure that each one of them is thinking, okay, why are you still fighting me on this? You know, Nicole wants to be head of household because she hasn't been head of household since week one. James was head of household, you know, a couple weeks ago or whatever the hell. And I can't remember when it was. Sorry, it all blends together to me at this point. And James is like, well, I'm the endurance beast. I have to win this competition. He wants it for his mantle, like an animal head or something like that. So the longer
but
this
Brent,
goes between...
We need the HOH room.
Exactly. That's what she's doing right now.
I need to be up there with Natalie. No, we need to be up there. Okay. We need our privacy.
That's what's going on right now. And the people who are watching the live feeds are saying, shut up, Nicole, because they're tired of hearing about her damn... it's like Hillary in the emails. They don't want to hear about your damn letters anymore, okay, woman? So,
The private room more? Which couple?
Exactly. Okay. Probably Corey and Nicole, based on what I've been seeing. So, yeah.
No, I don't. They don't need it a room. Like, Nicole and Corey.
The best conversation this week was when James went to Natalie and said, "I want to know what your intentions are toward me after the game." And she's like, is that a serious question? He's like, did it sound like a serious question? And they talked in circles. I mean, there wasn't really an answer. I mean, Natalie did her, you know, Texas two-step where she's like, I really care about you. You know, you're a great guy. Yeah, Rob, you know how this is going to end. Come on.
Yeah. I mean, Ian, I want to get your take on this. Okay. 2 weeks after the season is over, are Natalie and James a couple?
2 weeks, yes.
Hey, four, 6 weeks. 6 weeks after the season is over. Halloween.
Come on, Ian.
Halloween, yes. And right after that, I'm looking for the turkey breakup here.
The old turkey breakup. Well, the Amazing Race has not come back on the schedule also in this scenario.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. Turkey breakup.
Turkey breakup could be a thing. All right. Ian, one more thing. Are you excited about the Big Brother digital season, or do you think that Big Brother needs to have sort of a protracted off season?
You know, I actually do think that the long off season is kind of what makes Big Brother feel special.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm not sure how I feel about it. It's like,
well, yeah,
are the house guests that are on it, are they considered family? Like, we haven't had this discussion yet. No,
I mean,
I'm sure they are.
You guys hang out with Big Brother Canada house guests all the time. So I think that would be a real jerk move to say, excuse me, no digital people around here.
Getting all snooty. Like, are they family or not? I don't know.
I'm not sure that they weren't, but Big Brother Canada was on TV.
That's true. You're right. But this is a new medium.
So there's a bigger divide between people that were from different countries than on different formats.
Say, I don't know. Say again. Format? You mean is it like TV or?
Yeah. Theater? If there was a Big Brother movie, would you not associate with those people?
I mean, do I associate with Mike O'Malley because he was on Big Brother yesteryear? I mean,
you should. All right. Well, we'll see. All right. What's the hashtag? People liked the Vic pick earlier tonight. Ian, do you have anything that jumped out to you?
There was something that I really liked.
The turkey hashtag, breakup.
Hashtag rigged.
No.
Sorry.
No, don't rig. No rigging. You all like right, turkey right. breakup, Ian?
I do like turkey breakup. There was one that I thought would have made a really good hashtag, but I just can't think of what it was now. So we'll go with that.
I always have to write them down, otherwise I forget them too.
Yeah. All right. I like the turkey breakup. I think that's a term I could see us for many seasons referring back to. Ian, you know, I had a call back to something that you had brought up a couple of weeks or a couple of years ago, which we had recently mentioned, the idea of the change.org petition going directly into Allison Grodner's recycle bin. That came up recently, and I did smile and think back to your memorable analogy.
Into the trash it goes.
Yes, right in there. It
goes. Well, Ian. I'm really excited. I, for one, am really excited about Big Brother Online because, number one, they're not calling it Big Brother 19. I mean, Big Brother 19 is next summer.
Yep.
So obviously they're doing things different. All the competitions are going to be online. I'm hoping because it's not to the masses, it's to the fans. So they're going to cast some really like strong super fans, some strategic players, some people who really want to play hard and play fast. Like that's what I'm hoping. So my expectations are low, but my hopes are high.
Well, I'm hoping that we end up seeing a crossover from one of Big Brother 18's most popular contestants. And I'm hoping that she can really be a shining light on the new season. Big Brother Brigital is going to be coming this fall to CBS Online. Very excited for Big Brother Brigital. All right. Ian, so much fun to have you back here on an eviction night. Yes. Everything is going good. Teaching and the school year, did it start up again yet?
Yeah, the school year has started. We're now 2 weeks in, and you know, I think that it's been pretty smooth so far. I mean, can't really complain.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Ian, so much fun to have you back at Tulane Terry. We're very interested to watch how it all plays out, and hopefully that down the road, maybe that the all-winner showmance or off-showmance could be blossoming.
You know, I don't hate my chances. I never want to get too confident about it, but
I think you can be confident about this one, yeah.
I really don't hate my chances, I'll say that.
Hey, look, a week ago we thought there was no chance Paul wasn't getting America's Care Package, so you never know.
You never know. But
you never know. Okay.
I feel like I don't hate my chances here.
Yeah, that you have to like these odds. It was like Victor going into the rebuy tonight.
Yes.
Okay. All right. And then Brent, of course, great to have you back once again. Of course, Brent will be one of the people you'll be hearing from on our all-new RuPaul's Drag Race wrap-up. I saw a lot of people tweeting about it tonight. Sounds like the new season's off to a flying start.
It was off to a flying start. I actually haven't watched the last half hour, so I'm going to go do that now because it was an hour and a half tonight. And of course, Big Brother started, so I watched most of it. No spoilers here, but what I saw was really great. They got right to the entertainment, and I love the twist that they're using this season. With the, you know, for those of you who don't know, Rue is not eliminating the queens anymore. It's the queens eliminating themselves, a la Big Brother, a la Survivor. So it's going to be a very entertaining game. I look forward to doing it with Mike Bloom and Ali Lasher. Thank you for letting us do it, Rob.
All right. Yeah, well, excited to have it on the reality TV wrap-ups. You can find that on robiswebsite.com. We've got so much great stuff coming. We did our first boot draft. Ian, if you had one Survivor first boot to save your life in a worst-to-first scenario, who would it be? Who's your one Survivor first boot?
Well, I haven't listened to the podcast, but I think the answer is definitively Brooke.
Brooke Garrity.
Brooke
Garrity. Wow.
Okay. I mean, I've never...
Tina. Tina. It has to be Tina. Come on.
We didn't count the returnees.
Okay.
I've never met him. I don't know what he's like. Obviously, you probably do. But
Rob does.
If you did, I don't know if you'd say.
Based on what I saw on the show, I thought that he seemed to have amount of game for a first boot.
No pumpkin, no.
All right, that's up. Right, also, Nicole and I recorded our first part of our season 33 preview. We talked about the millennials. I'm going to be posting that later on tonight, so you have that on Friday morning. Ian, you like the millennials Gen X season?
Well, it hasn't started yet. I don't know.
Well, do you like the idea of it as one of the great reality TV millennials?
Sure.
Sure, well, why not?
Let's watch. Yeah. I'll just put it in front of me. You know, I'll watch.
All right. So much fun. Looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say in the comments. Make sure you don't miss any of the shows. Go to robhasawebsite.com/iTunes. Also, Antonio Mazzaro and Josh Wiggler have an all-new Mr. Robot recap up on post-show recaps as well. So check out everything on the RHAP Podcasting Network. Take care, everybody. Have a good one.